Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for this season, Lord, for sending your Son. Lord God, as Pastor Dave spoke last week, Jesus incarnate, the Son incarnate, Lord God, to become like us so that you could take on our sin, become just like us and take on our sin so we can be free of sin, so we can have fellowship with you. Father, we thank you for the birth of your Son. Thank you for the birth of Jesus. And we give you all our praise and all our glory. And we love you and we praise you. We just give our hearts up to you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Well, an early Merry Christmas to you, and we have a long-distance Christmas greeting coming to us this morning all the way from Kenya, a Christmas greeting from the Rehema home. Adam, you can go ahead and play that for us, if you would.
My favorite is Christmas morning. Not because of the gifts. Okay, that's part of the reason. But also when we all come together in the morning on the 25th to celebrate the birth of Jesus as one family. Somebody gets to volunteer to give us a gift. But okay, as I said, the gift is not the point. But when we sit down to talk about how Jesus came to this earth, it feels warm in my heart when we all sit down as a family and share Christmas morning together.
The first Christmas we had in Rehema is no different from what we have now. Kids will get up in the morning, they'll have their breakfast, and we'll meet about 9 o'clock in the morning in our sitting room, and Ruth will lead in some Christmas songs, and I'll do the Christmas story, and then she'll finish it up with some talk about what Christmas really is. Is it about presents? Is it about getting things, giving things? What is Christmas really about? And the kids will answer and share about what they have learned about Jesus coming for us.
You are a part of our Christmas because your donations help us to buy gifts. So on behalf of Rehema and Rehema Kids, we'd just like to say a very big thank you for your donations month by month and year by year. Some of you have been very faithful to us over the many years that we have been a part of you. And we'd just like to say a very big thank you.
Hey there, wonderful gospel family. I hope you're all doing so well. This thank you video is coming from Rehema Home. We're doing this for many churches, personalizing the videos, but yours is certainly closest to my heart. If I wasn't pressed for time and my house wasn't such a disaster, I was going to even go find a cute little Christmas headband and look a little bit goofy because I know that you guys can handle it and I won't look unprofessional, or I will, but it won't matter to you. So I just wanted to say Merry Christmas and a sincere thank you to welcome Full Gospel, those of you that have been there a while, and those of you who maybe are newer and don't recognize me, Rahema Home has been supported by Wellsville Full Gospel for the entirety of its existence. The entirety. Rahema Home itself is 25 years old. Ruschwant, the founders, has been married for 50 years. They just celebrated 50 years last year. And Irv went over there to start as a missionary in 1970. And so I think it's been 1976, you, Wellsville Full Gospel, have stood with Schwant, have stood with Rahema Home, which means you're also standing with Kenya and investing in the work that God is doing there. I like to think that the soil, the actual physical soil of Kenya, is rich and fertile. The trees are big, the plants are big, everything is vibrant because it is fertile soil, and I believe there is fertile soil in the hearts of the Kenyans as well. So you have sown into that for many years. My area of expertise, though, of course, is Rahema Home, and we continue to grieve the loss of two sons. When I came to visit you in maybe May or June, I think it was May of this year, we had not yet experienced those deaths, the two deaths of the sons of Rahema. So it's been a lot this year for the Schwants, a lot for the children to continue to grieve. And so we welcome your prayers. If there's anybody there that feels compelled to remember Rahema Home in your year-end giving, we are always grateful for that. But this video is intended to stand all by itself and be a thank you from Rahema Home to Wellsville Full Gospel Church. I really love you guys. Bye. And Merry Christmas.
Amen. Some prayer needs I want to remember this morning. Please pray for Pat Regan. He's home not feeling well today. Stomach and headache and all the yucky stuff that you don't want to have at Christmas time. So let's remember him. I'd like to remember Sherry Clark's family. Her brother Greg passed away recently. And that's a hard thing to have happen. Also, remember to pray for the family of Ralph Eastlack. Some of you may remember him as the director of Youth for Christ for many years. And he spoke at this church off and on years and years ago. He came and preached, and he passed away, I believe it was December 8th. So I'd like to pray for that family as well. Father, we thank you. Lord, we remember the Christmas time, joyful time. Lord, sometimes it's a difficult time as well for those who have lost loved ones. Father, I'm thinking of the two precious students at my school who are having their first Christmas without their dad. Lord, for Sherry's family as they grieve the passing of her brother, Lord, as the Eastlack family grieve the passing of Ralph, Father, somebody who was committed to the gospel in our region for so many years. We pray, Father, that you would extend your hand and that you would touch people, Father, in their grief, but help them to reach their hand heavenward and make contact with the God of all comfort who is able to comfort us. Father, I pray that you would bring that grace and that blessing, Father, and help all of those families. I pray for Pat that you would touch his body, Lord. God, that you'd deliver him from the headache, the stomach ache, all of the stuff. Father, give him your grace. Touch him. Heal his body. Lord, we believe you're able to do a miracle of healing in him. Father, manifest that, Lord, even as we're praying this morning. Thank you for your help and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Very excited. If you've noticed that our sanctuary looks a little different this morning, we've packed in a whole bunch of chairs. We have the Christmas treat of the Fountain Arts Orchestra that will be performing here today at 4 o'clock, and I hope you can all come. If you're planning to go home and come back early. Last year, it was standing room only. We had people standing in the foyer peeking in and in the doorways and standing on the sides. I don't know that we're going to have that large of a crowd this year because they've had an earlier concert in Houghton for the northern part of the county, but it could be a very well-attended concert tonight. So if you're planning to come, plan to show up a little early. And I'm sure it'll be wonderful. Are there any testimonies this morning? Anyone like to share? What has God been up to? Anything? We know He's always up to stuff. Even the Sundays that there aren't a testimony here, that doesn't mean that God took a week off. but I'd love to hear. Okay, Roxanne.
I was going to give this last week when we were sick. My father fell 2 weeks ago. He got really bruised up, but I just thank God that there was no broken bones. He didn't break anything, and he's doing well. I just give God the glory.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Okay, well, let's look into the Word this morning. If you have your Bible, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 1. I do have it also on a PowerPoint. Adam, you can bring that up. Thank you. And I've included a traditional picture of the nativity or the creche. Probably not really historically accurate. I think the kings probably showed up a long time after. This sort of sums up the centrality of Christmas, and you notice the spotlight here is on Jesus, where it belongs. I'd like to look though in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged in marriage to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and was unwilling to disgrace her publicly, he resolved to divorce her quietly. But after he had pondered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to embrace Mary as your wife, for the one conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin will be with child, and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and embraced Mary as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son and he gave him the name Jesus. Today, I want to keep in mind that the centrality of Christmas is the birth of Jesus, but I want to look at a different character this morning. What I would call the forgotten man in the Christmas account. We hear of the angels appearing to Mary and angels announcing on the hillside, "Glory to God in the highest," and the shepherds. The kings of the east come with gifts, the baby in the manger, and Mary and the angel appearing to Mary and the Magnificat that she proclaims. But Joseph is easy to overlook in all of this story, but he is a very integral part of Christmas. It's interesting that Joseph is silent in the scriptures. There's no recorded word of Joseph. I'm sure he spoke, but we don't have a single word of Joseph written down in the scriptures. It doesn't appear anywhere. No recorded words. But Joseph's actions speak very, very loudly. He was a remarkable person. He really was. And I'd like to study him and his example carefully this morning. In the scripture that we just looked at, in verse 18, it says that Joseph is pledged in marriage, or a better word would be betrothed. He wasn't engaged. A betrothal in Jewish culture is very different than what we think of as an engagement. You know, people get engaged and then they decide, well, they change their mind and they break off the engagement, or they get engaged to somebody else. It's a kind of a very loose agreement. Not in Hebrew culture. No, you got betrothed. First of all, most of the marriages were arranged. So probably from the moment she was born, there was some kind of an arrangement. But when the betrothal became official, it was a one-year commitment of time. And at the beginning of that betrothal, they were considered married. They didn't have a physical relationship, but they had a marriage agreement. And it was very, very binding. And it usually lasted about a year. And the intended time for that was threefold. First of all, to prove the chastity of the young lady, to make sure that she was a virgin. Also to allow the families to begin to join together, to begin to become acquainted and move in that way. And then thirdly, to allow in a limited way the bride and the groom to get to know each other. But breaking a betrothal was like a divorce. You had to actually divorce somebody if you were betrothed. It didn't matter if it had gone all the way to the final marriage ceremony and a physical consummation. Even before that, you had to get divorced. It was a big deal. And that's how serious it was taken. And for a woman to be found pregnant during the betrothal was grounds not just for divorce, but for stoning. You know, Leviticus 20:10, if a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. Yow. So this was a quite a predicament that God had put Mary and Joseph into. Do you see the grounds for misunderstanding here? And who did it? God did it. Thank you very much, Lord. I said yes to the wonderful word of God. And So here we have a very young girl. Mary was probably between 12 and 14 years old. She was a young girl. When they got betrothed, they were young. You know, the picture that we saw up on the screen there, she looked like she was about 25. Probably not. And probably was not in that outdoor scene. It was probably more like a cave. But here she was, and a young girl, 12 to 14. And I'm sure she was nervous and fearful and bewildered. And now she's got, so to speak, a scarlet letter pinned to her. She's pregnant and betrothed and not married. And Joseph was a man who must have had a broken heart and shattered dreams when he realized what had happened. You know, he was quite a bit older than Mary. Most of the time when they betrothed young girls to men, they were anywhere from 10 to 30 years older. So he could have been considerably older, which could also be the reason that we don't see him again after Jesus is about 12 years old, because he could have been considerably older than Mary. But it was obvious that their marriage had to end. It had to end. But there had to be a consequence for such a betrayal. The law demanded it. Now in verse 19, I'm jumping back and forth today. In verse 19 it says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. A righteous man. The Greek for that is dikaios. It means just and righteous. He had no choice but to put her aside. But dikaios also meant to be prudent and discreet. And Joseph was going to be big-hearted about this. He didn't have to be. He could have put Mary to a public disgrace. Look what she did. But he didn't do that to her. He had a heart of compassion for her. I'm sure he loved her. He was going to be big-hearted about it and take care of it quietly, save her the shame, save her the punishment, just do it quietly, even though he didn't have to. He wanted to be merciful to her. And I'm sure Mary tried to tell him what happened, and I guess he was not inclined to believe. How would you believe such a whopper? You know, I mean, that sounds like a really big lie. Yeah, an angel appeared to me and God did this to me. Zap. Sure he did. Mm-hmm. Wow. And then suddenly everything for Joseph is shattered. He has a dream. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to embrace Mary as your wife. Wow. And God tells him, don't be afraid. And then we have verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and embraced Mary as his wife. Do you notice that he did it immediately? There was no hesitation at all. He immediately obeyed. There was no argument. There was no hesitation. There was no questioning. I mean, don't you think Joseph could have had a million questions and a million problems with it? God, why are you putting us through this? It just says he immediately obeyed. He immediately did what God asked him. Joseph's obedience outstrips most of the other great men of God we read about in the scriptures. It's just amazing. When the angel appeared to Zacharias, what did Zacharias do? He looked at him and said, "Well, how can this happen to me? I'm an old man. My wife is old. How can?" And he was struck silent until the day that John the Baptist was born. When Moses was called to deliver Israel in Exodus 3, he comes up with four consecutive excuses. First of all, he says, well, who am I? Who am I to go to the Israelites? And then he says, well, who are you? Who am I going to tell them? Who am I going to tell them sent me? Who are you? And then he says, well, they won't believe me. And then he says, I can't speak. Finally, it says, the anger of the Lord was against him. God got a little ticked off with Moses and all his arguments. When in Isaiah 6:5, when God appeared to Isaiah, King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord lifted up and his train filled the temple. And the first thing that Isaiah said was, oh, woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, I'm going to die, I can't be here. When God called Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, Jeremiah immediately says, I don't know how to speak, I'm too young, I can't do this. Not Joseph. Joseph just immediately obeys. He does exactly what God says, and he does it right then. What an incredible example. And not only does he obey, but he obeys in what I would say in pain or through pain. This puts Joseph in a difficult situation. You know, we like to think that the Word of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit is going to bring great blessing and joy and excitement. And this move of God brought whispers and suspicion and accusation for Joseph and Mary. His obedience is going to come with consequences and judgments. And the easiest thing for Joseph would be to just put her away and go back to his carpenter shop and go build something. Just say, can you imagine him with the hammer after that? Building something. I can't imagine. But through obedience, he gets to enter into her perceived disgrace. And yet he obeyed. And yet he did it. And he did it unthinkingly and unhesitatingly. What an incredible person. Joseph did that, knowing the consequences, knowing what he would walk through, but knowing that in the end it was going to be worth it. There's a blessing. It isn't all difficulty. It isn't all pain and suffering. There's blessing when we obey God, and he knew that, and he obeyed. Joseph also obeyed in the face of fear. This was a fearful thing. It really was. And the angel said, do not be afraid. What was he afraid of? Well, how about all his relatives? All the other people around? You're going to marry her? You know, the Romans believed that Jesus was the son of a Roman soldier. I can't remember Roman history. They had a name for this guy that they were sure had attacked Mary. And you know, just the very fact that God moved supernaturally upon Mary was an incredible thing. Peter, when seeing the miracle of fishes, he was struck before Jesus, and he just said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." How should Joseph felt? I'm sure he just wanted to go back and just go back to his life and hope that none of this happened. But no, he says yes to being the stepfather of the Son of God. How do you be the stepfather of the Son of God? Who would ever sign up for that? And you feel like, what if I do it wrong? You know, you're like, okay, is lightning coming down now? You know, what if I mess this up? An incredible responsibility. But he said yes. He just did it. Obedience, also in the face of difficult consequences. Luke 2:1-6. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census should be taken of the whole empire. This was the first census to take place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, since he was from the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to him in marriage and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her child to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Oh, he immediately obeys and immediately marries Mary. And no sooner does he do that, and Caesar gets a bright idea. Oh, let's have a census so we can get more tax money. Sound familiar? Wow. So Joseph has to pack up and take 9-month pregnant Mary to Bethlehem. And then they get there and they can't find any place to stay. Oh, and can you imagine being Joseph running all over the place trying to find some place for your 9-month pregnant wife? Wow. God, why did you put us in this place? We thought the word of God would bring blessing. Well, but then Joseph gets another prophetic dream. It says in Matthew 2:13. I didn't put that up. I must have missed it. He was warned in a dream that Herod was going to try to kill the baby. So in the middle of the night, he has to get up and travel to Egypt on foot. Guess how long that was from Bethlehem to Egypt? The conservative estimate is 350 miles. So he gets up at night, in the middle of the night, and spooks out of Bethlehem with Mary and baby, with a brand new baby, takes off and walks at least 350 miles. It could have been longer depending on where he went in Egypt. Who knows how many days it took them. So Joseph was in this thing for the long haul. But the angel spoke to him again, and what does he do? He hops up, grabs his stuff in the middle of the night, and takes off. He obeys, and he obeys right away. Wow. Had to go to Egypt. No paved roads, no McDonald's on the way, no place to pick up a snack, no Wendy's, no Taco Bell. Wow, even Wellsville's got a Taco Bell now. nothing on the way to Egypt except a long road and a man who was obeying God. Praise God that he did. And Joseph obeyed also as a father. You know, when Jesus started preaching, what did he call God? Here in Mark 14:36, he's praying. He says, Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. That term, Jesus didn't refer to God. He didn't pray and say, oh, our great Lord, our great King, Almighty and great God. He called him Abba. Abba literally means papa or daddy or dad. It's a very tender, endearing term for somebody's father. It's like calling them your papa. Martin Luther said that his father was so terrible that all his life he had difficulty at even calling God his father. Not so with Jesus. He had no problem relating to God because I believe it was because of Joseph's remarkable obedience and acceptance to the will of God that Jesus grew up with. Joseph was not a guardian. He wasn't his teacher or somebody, a good friend or a nice uncle. He was a father. And he had a father's heart for that boy that God called. 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul says, even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. Joseph leaves us an example at Christmas time of direct and immediate obedience to the will of God and also to the idea of a father's heart. Joseph really had a father's heart. And God is calling us in this day to have that heart of obedience like Joseph had, but to have a father's heart or a mother's heart toward people. Ones who are willing to stay the course, who are willing to obey God, even when there's consequences, even when it's with difficult people, even when it puts us into people's messes, even when it means we get put out, even if it means we have to walk a long way along with people in a situation that we didn't make, that wasn't our fault, but we're trying to, that God has called us in and we're trying to obey in, we can be fathers and mothers to people around us. Walking a walk and being willing to walk through stuff with people. Joseph was willing to walk through the worst mess. God dropped him in a mess. You know, it was the will of God, but in the natural, it was a mess. And he was willing to walk that out because he had a father's heart. He was willing initially to protect Mary. He was willing to marry her. He was willing to immediately obey. He was willing to run to Egypt. Then when he's in Egypt, he had another dream that said it was okay to come back. But then he heard that Archelaus was ruling in his father's place, and he was afraid to go there, so they ended up going to Nazareth. I don't know what that did to his carpenter's business. I don't know how they survived. I don't know what their livelihood was. I imagine it was a tough and long road, but Joseph was a father. He had the father's heart. That's why God used him. And that is an example of a father's heart that God wants to instill in us to be able to walk through anything we need to walk through with people, to love them, to bless them, to lead them to Christ, to walk through them in their messes, to be unconditionally loving and obedient. Glory to God. I'm at the end. It's okay. Those gifts that those kings brought, they were valuable gifts. And they probably provided for that family for a long time. And I'm sure they came on a day where they really needed it. Oh, because God is faithful and He provides. God is faithful and He always provides. Thank you, Denise. Father, we thank you today for this wonderful story, Father, and we thank you that sometimes you put us in predicaments. Sometimes you put us in places where the word of the Lord tests us and tries us, and it could test and try us for a long time, as it did Mary and Joseph. Father, we thank you that for this example. Help us. Help us to be people who immediately say yes, who immediately obey you, who are willing to walk away from our nets and follow Jesus as Peter did, to be willing to respond when you call as Joseph did, over and over, even in the face of difficult circumstances. And Father, help us to be gracious, to walk with people in their good times, in their bad times, when everything is well and when everything is a mess. Help us to be in the faith, fathers and mothers, who will love people into the kingdom and love them through their difficult times. Father, we thank you that you can give us that heart. Help us to have that heart at this Christmas time, Lord. Help us to remember that and carry it through the year. Teach us what it means to have the Father's heart for people. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas. I hope you can stay for a few minutes today and have some coffee and cookies. And I really, really hope you can come to the concert. You will not be disappointed. It's going to be a great concert. Yes. I did not say a blessing over the food, but I can do that. Father, we thank you for our fellowship time. We thank you for all that you've provided. We pray that you would bless it. And Father, bless us as we go today, and we go and spend time with our families and friends, and we see people maybe that we haven't seen in a long time. Give us grace to be ambassadors of the gospel with whoever we're with. And help us to love people well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer today, someone will be here to pray for you. Otherwise, Merry Christmas. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful holiday.